don't use a debit card, period. So I had what I call plastic surgery happen around my house. We cut up the plastic.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims from HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin Compliance. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, David.
How is it going down in Hotlanta? Well, you don't call it that anymore, do you?
No, that's...
That was old news. That's way back.
Yeah, you sound like an old person when you do that.
I am an old person. Yeah, I do know that Atlanta now has their own show, like... Mm-hmm. It's called Atlanta. I saw like one episode, but it's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, you know, it's come a long way. You know, now people actually say Atlanta instead of Atlanta, or where I grew up, Lanner.
Lanner.
Lanner. You going down to Lanner? That's a long way. It's fur and snaky. So I know you know what I'm saying. So we got some stuff to cover and from hymns, and we are recovering from hymns.
Oh, still recovering from hymns.
Oh, no.
I'm still tired.
I was listening to the podcast we recorded down there, and you could tell how tired we were.
Yeah.
Or at least I could tell. I don't know if other people could, but it was obvious to me. Boy, we were exhausted.
Yes, we were. And we're going to cover some more of kind of what we... learned down there, and some of it's some pretty cool stuff. Matter of fact, I came back. I don't know about you. I came back and started making some changes immediately to some things.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things, of course, we'll get to this in a minute, but I'm debating whether to hold off on it or do it now. But when I came back, the very first thing I heard from somebody was how their debit card got stolen.
Really?
I mean, the very first thing. And of course, we'll cover that and it'll make a little more sense later, but it's just amazing that, you know, I come back and I'm like, we're getting rid of any debit cards we have, which I don't have any, but I do have some for my kids. And I'm like, nope, getting rid of them. They're gone. Getting credit cards.
So, well, you know, just not having when they forced you to go to like the credit card, debit card. I mm-hmm. fought it tooth and nail. I kept my ATM card. That's what I want, is the option to have just an ATM card. Because mm-hmm. sometimes you got to have some cash.
Yeah. I thought about even doing like the PayPal card. You know, they'll give you like a PayPal Visa, but it takes right out of your PayPal account. And that way I can just put some money in the kids' PayPal account and they can use that card. So mm-hmm. something like that. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
So
that will make sense later in the podcast why that's on our minds. So we'll talk about it.
So as we have started to do here in the beginning of the podcast, let's talk about some talks and places that you or I or both will be in the near future speaking.
You or so I. That
if you or I or both, you or me, you or I. I don't know which one is it. Me, you, I.
You anyway. Or I. All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's all kinds of things going on in the world. And we made a lot of contacts while we were gone. But, you know, my most immediate things on my schedule is, let's see, March 15th, which will be right around the time this comes out. I'm at the North Fulton MGMA. So doing the big luncheon presentation. And then Orlando, April 7th, I'm speaking at the Southern Oncology Association of Practices, and May 2nd, the Georgia MGMA Annual Conference, and I've got multiple things, irons in the fire, so to speak, for additional sessions, but in July, I am doing the Atlanta Administrative Lawyers Association, talking about building cybersecurity programs, so... I'm spreading out, David. Spreading out.
So, okay, I'm going to throw something out there, and you're probably going to go, I wasn't ready for this. But let's throw out the whole HIPAA boot camp thing idea, or not necessarily idea, but we're doing it. What I want to know is, are the listeners interested in the HIPAA boot camp that we're putting together? Because it's going to be a you know, a 2 day or day and a half. I'm not sure which. You probably know. You've probably been planning this week while I've been recovering. But it's going to be a live conference, so to speak, event that you can come to and do a comprehensive in-depth boot camp on HIPAA.
Yeah, it's a 2 day boot camp. We're trying to design this up. So, you know, it's not going to be a gingerly networking conference. It's going to be, sir, yes, sir. I understand, sir. But the idea is that you can come one day, both days, but it's an intensive program. If you're new to HIPAA or if you are a compliance officer and you need compliance officer training, which is very important, if you knew some of it, then that's great. You can feel like you're, you know, getting new ideas maybe. Otherwise, you're going to learn new things. And one day is, you know, really intensive talking about different HIPAA things. And then the other day, we drill down a little bit more into auditing and all of that. And it even ends with some lab work, not like the draw lab work. We're not going to take any blood.
We'll be
although, blood. You know, it is healthcare, so you could have that. DNA testing, everyone. But, you know, we're building this. We're putting this together. We had some people ask for it from the Cardin side. And then I went to David and said, hey, how about we do this and put it together for Help Me With HIPAA? And so that's what we're looking at. We're looking to see if we build this thing. If we build it, will you come? But and we're also developing some surveys for our listeners to help us know what we can do to make our podcast better, to offer more information. And as much as you may request it, I am not going to fire David.
What? What are you talking about?
But we're wanting some input.
I carry the show.
I know you do. But we want some input on several different things. And so we're going to be, you know, listen up for that and go to the website once we start posting that out there. It could happen at any time. If you're on the mailing list, we'll notify you when it's out there. We really like some input, and you can do it anonymously. I know a lot of people don't want to give out their names and stuff, and you don't have to. So please provide that input, and if we build it, will you come? Let us know. Shoot us an email at contact@helpmewithhipaa.com. David just likes saying the .com thing.
So. I do, yeah. So yeah, let us know. I mean, we're not going to badger you to death with sales marketing material. I mean, if you want it, you'll come. If you don't, you'll stay home. And I mean, it's pretty simple stuff.
Yeah, we're trying to make, you know, we try to make it affordable, but we also want to start making a living from time to time.
Yeah, that
I like a house. I like a roof.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, it's like anything else. The more people who are interested in it, the lower the cost can be because you're spreading it across more people. So, because we have to get a place to have it and all that kind of stuff.
So bring all your friends.
It's not a free thing. We have to pay for stuff. And
it will be here in Georgia.
Yeah.
Likely awesome. Very near me right now.
maybe we can expand out in the next year or years to come where we do like an East Coast one and a West Coast one or something like that.
See, he's the idea guy. That's why I have to keep him around.
And I'm sure we can do one in Hawaii.
I wouldn't mind. So let's get down to the nitty gritty and the meat of the day.
All right. So
let's get something to chew on.
Well, guess what happened this week?
What?
The internet broke. It broke.
Amazon broke the internet.
Amazon's fault. And for a lot of people, they didn't realize Amazon had their hand in their stuff until there's a problem.
Yeah. I mean, it was actually surprising to see how far it spread once it started happening to, you know, a wide variety of different things. So just for those who don't understand necessarily, do you want to kind of explain a little bit about what Amazon S3 East Coast servers, why it broke things?
Why it broke things?
Well, not how it broke things, but why that mattered.
Well, there's a lot of things that happen, you know, S3 is the part of Amazon where people store a lot of data. Sometimes it's nothing but images or audio files or video files or whatever, but it's like an online repository where you can store data. The problem is when you can't access that, everything is connected to that stream doesn't work. So the videos don't work and the audios don't work and the images don't work and the software that you may have built based on that platform now doesn't work.
Yeah, and it sits there just waiting for it to answer. It's like, please give me the data. Please give me the data. Please give me the data. Please. So that's why it just sat there.
Yep. And lots of people just saw nothing but spinning things on their screen.
Or the, you know, 404 or the website is down. And, you know, you sent me the thing and I was like, oh, wow. You know, right after it happened, David sends me a little pop-up instant message. Check this out. I was looking at it. I was like, oh, I wonder how much that's going to affect. And then in a minute, you know, folks on my team are like, this is not working. This is not working. I was like, oh, by the way.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I didn't have any clients calling me about their particular software, but I did read where there were several people who had issues with being able to get the patient information and they couldn't get to certain other cloud services that they had. And, you know, it was like, oh, but I don't have anything with Amazon. I'm not paying Amazon for anything. I'm like, yeah, you're not, but your vendors are.
Yeah, that's why we posted a tweet that, you know, that was just a reminder that there's more to know about your vendors than one would think. So if they use secondary, and everybody does it, clearly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's one of the largest in the world, if not the largest in the world. And you can't run away from stuff like this. If you're going to use the internet, then there are certain things like Amazon and some of these other ones that have these services that just take up a huge portion of what you're used to doing on a daily basis. You know, Amazon and Google are probably the two biggest.
Yeah, there's things running out there on those two backbones you don't even know about. And the same with Microsoft. It's not as prevalent, but Azure does have a lot of stuff. IBM's got some, but between Amazon and Google, you got a huge part of the internet. And, you know, so like file sharing solutions, that's where they use it, is these data elements. But then we learned out how it happened. And,
whoops.
one person and a typo is all it took to bring down the internet. How about that? Talk about having a bad day.
Yeah.
You know, and it happened like first thing in the morning to this poor engineer. But the story to their credit, Amazon's being quite transparent. They could have tried to cover this up and blame it on, you know, equipment failure or all of this. No, they said, look, we had an engineer doing their job. They were authorized to do what they did. They were following a playbook, which is kind of, you know, a checklist, but you got to have a cool name for it. It's a playbook. It's the way nerds feel good. They were following the playbook, and they issued the command that was supposed to, like, remove three servers from the S3, you know, to switch things out. They do it all the time. Clearly, they have a playbook.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, a typo went from three to, like, the whole freaking thing. and, you know, programmers have been known to, you know, a semicolon out of place. It happens. I mean, just, you know, maybe they hadn't had enough coffee. Maybe they're hungover. I don't know. but it happened like at 9:30 in the morning Pacific time, which was, you know, really when the day's cranking up Eastern time, and it hit the Eastern side. So,
yeah. Oops. It's one of those things where, you know, you realize that, like, as soon as your finger presses the enter key, and you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah, because you see it starting to do stuff, and you can't stop it.
Yeah. Then it's
I had that years ago. I had a tech support person issue a command, and on our systems, they didn't have the authority to do this, but they were trying to explain to the client how to do it, and they were trying to show them, and if they did it on our system, it would just kind of give you stuff, and they forgot they were on the other client system. And it was like this huge clinic, and it had to shut the whole thing down. It did. It did that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just so you know, Amazon is not just a place where you can buy stuff.
I know. It's
Google's
huge.
Not just a search engine.
Yeah.
I mean, these are two of the
Gmail.
Yeah. These are two of the larger backbones of the internet.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you're looking at doing your security risk analysis, you got to think about stuff like that. What are you going to do when the internet breaks?
Yeah. But, and one other thing is we talked often about, you know, assuming that you should trust your IT people. You know, this person was authorized to do what they were doing, following a checklist when they did it. And I'm sure now that checklist within Amazon, they talked about all these changes that they're going to make where it won't allow you to do that many servers at one time. So they'll put like stop gaps in there. Mm-hmm. But even if all you did was on your checklist, which I'm sure at the time it never occurred to them, but on your checklist, this has got a big red box around it that says, be triple careful before you press enter, read it three times, and have someone else check your work, you know? So there's sections like that, and we talk about that when we talk about firewalls and having people change those things. So
the good thing about this is when there are problems like this that come up, then we find out that there are problems that we need to address and fix things. So it becomes better eventually. Everything mm-hmm. becomes better when you find the problems that mm-hmm. You weren't prepared for.
It does make me want to just, like, you know, buy that poor engineer a drink. You know?
I'm sure.
Yeah. Here's a shot of tequila. It's not, you don't even need a drink. You just need something stiff. So there you go.
Yeah.
But let's try. Oh, well, we got a lot to cover and about some stuff we learned at HIMSS.
All right. So where do you want to go from here? Because we still got a lot of stuff on our sheet.
I know. Really? Well, you know, the first two, we did sit in on a lot of different sessions. And one of the ones that we sat in on was a discussion by the folks that were the CIO for HHS, the Chief Information Officer for Department of Health and Human Services, as well as the leader of the Cybersecurity Task Force for Healthcare, which their report is due out in 20 days from last week. So this month, we're going to get their report, and it was from a huge group that met four times to discuss how to address cybersecurity across the entire continuum. And it had everything, like there's nurses and doctors and accountants, and so all these different areas of healthcare that sat in on this task force, and they came up with this report based on the things that they mentioned were going to be in it, and they couldn't speak to what was in it, but it talks about cybersecurity is not just under IT anymore. It's everywhere, and securing everything, not just desktops, and worrying about legacy systems, and being able to share information, which we absolutely have to do, but being able to secure it while we're doing it. So it sounds like there's going to be a bunch of stuff in that report I'm really geeking out about. When do I get to see it?
Yep.
The HHS CIO was talking about a lot of things they're doing on threat gathering and being able to share threat information so that we're kind of becoming more prepared to prevent things because we learn how they're doing things, and that's why we talk about things. But of course, social engineering and phishing are still the biggest problems, and the only way to really deal with that is training. But there were two comments the HHS CIO made that I had to make note of. And one was, it's astounding what Congress doesn't know about what's going on in all the different business sectors.
Sure.
That was cool. But then the other thing, they were talking about this threat modeling. And if you know about something, you're more likely to plan for it. And this falls under the, I had no idea this was going on. I don't know about you, but there's a problem with chest x-rays being stolen.
I did hear about it because something about you have to have a clear chest x-ray to get into the United States from, where is it, China?
Yeah, to get a visa to leave China. And I haven't looked up all of the details as to why, but to get a visa to leave China, you have to be able to show you have a clean chest x-ray.
Probably the bird flu thing or something.
I don't know. You know, they have so much smog there, maybe. I don't know, but at any rate, you have to show that you have this clean chest x-ray. So now they're hacking, the Chinese are hacking x-ray systems looking for chest x-rays so that they can get out of China. Okay, well, that's a threat never occurred to us. And again, it goes back to, I don't have anything they want. Yeah, you do. I don't even want the identity. I just want a clean chest x-ray. So that is a perfect lead-in to the big meat of our discussion, which is the rest of our discussion, which is, I think, one of the most informative, kind of cool sessions that we went to. was when Frank Abagnale did Stealing Your Life. And for those of you who don't know who he is, they actually made a movie about him, and he was doing identity theft before it was called identity theft. You know, he was forging checks and all kinds of money and counterfeiting and all this back in the day. I mean, we're talking 60s, 70s. And they made the movie Catch Me If You Can with Tom Hanks and Leonardo DiCaprio. And DiCaprio played the part of the young Abagnale. And it's all about how they finally did catch him. Tom Hanks' character caught him, but then he started working for the FBI. And so he has been dealing with identity theft and counterfeit and fraud for most of my life, almost all of yours. So we were listening to, and his, I don't know, his presentation, I was just like, it was like, people may feel listening to our stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's like everything he said, you wanted to write down.
Oh, I mean, it was just coming at you like a fire hose, is one of my clients have told me. Donna, when you talk to me, it's like you're hitting me with a fire hose. But I took down so many different little bullets. I don't know about you, but I even reading it now, it's like, wow, I forgot about that. Wow. But it's statistics, like identity theft happens every 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not the same person.
And he was doing these numbers, and he said fraud and, you know, the things that why people steal identities cost the United States $994 billion in 2016 alone.
Mm-hmm.
But then that sounds like, whoa, that's almost $1 trillion. Whoa. And, you know, we kind of, in today's world, you know, everything's so big, you don't think about how that really reflects until he said, for example, the entire budget for the Department of Defense, and then he proceeds to go through, that includes the Pentagon, that includes all of our bombs, our nuclear weapons, our bullets, our, you know, he's going through every little thing that would be under the Department of Defense, our planes, our this or that. That in 2016 was $720 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So there was fraud well beyond, you know, I don't know about you, but another $274 billion matters.
I know. That's crazy.
I know. Yeah. You know, so when we look at that, and of that $994 billion, roughly a little, actually a little more than 10% of it was Medicare fraud. $100 billion.
That's a lot of frogs.
Frog. You know, people were talking about fraud in all these discussions, and David would look at them and say, frog? And they would go, yeah, fraud. And it was between the two of us, and he did it so many times that I was like, don't do it again, don't do it. Oh, there he goes, doing it again. But it was so funny. We would be laughing at somebody talking about fraud. So sorry if you were one of those people. But it's David's fault. But he made the point that government is the easiest to steal from, because they have the most money and they're huge and all these things. But the really scary thing, his point was that the majority of that $994 billion leaves the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like it's staying here. It's leaving the United States, going to criminals who then use it to build their other criminal enterprises that then they bring back into the United States. That was scary.
So another thing you talked about was the, you know, the breaches that are happening, and he said, and we talk about this all the time, but I like when somebody else says it, that every breach is because somebody either did something that they shouldn't have done, or they didn't do something that they should have done.
Yeah, it's the people.
So yeah, it is, and I actually had this comment yesterday with a client where, you know, I told them, look, we can put as much technology as you can possibly afford in place, but if you're not going to make sure your people are doing the right things, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he was talking about South Carolina, and he lives in South Carolina. I think you should go look him up, David. He would be fun to have on the show.
Yeah.
But he was telling about every taxpayer in the state of South Carolina had their information stolen, their tax returns, the entire tax return.
Yep. I was amongst those.
Yeah. All happened because a laptop was taken home by an employee,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't have things secured at their home network, and the hackers got into the laptop
mm-hmm.
that then they took back to the office, plugged it in, and, you know, there you go. Off we go. So
yeah. And what was that he said that when you hear about how many people were breached, he said, take the number and multiply it by 10, and that gives you what the number really was?
Yeah. Any of those initial reports. I think he was talking about Yahoo's thing. He says, whatever number they first come out with on those big breaches, you just need to multiply it times 10.
Yeah.
Because they have no idea yet. You know, and he was like, a lot of cases is you'll have a breach, and then no one actually fixes how they got in. They just fix what they did at the moment. And they come in that same way again. We're letting them in.
Okay, so we got to talk about this little thing he did, which I've heard somebody do this before, and it may have even been him. But he takes a handful of USB sticks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he marks them confidential. And he goes to an organization where I guess maybe he's doing some assessments for or whatever, but he parks.
He's speaking at the organization that day, so they know he's coming.
Yeah, so he parks in the employee parking. He takes all of these USB sticks that have confidential written on them, and he scatters them throughout the parking lot. Well, guess what happens?
Yeah, as you open that, you know he knows where you are. All he knows all the details as soon as you access that USB.
Yeah, drive. So employees are picking them up and taking mm-hmm. them into the building and plugging them into the corporate machines, more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's basically, he said, that pops up on your screen saying, you know, you just failed the security audit. But had it not been a prank/test, then that whole entire network would have been compromised and breached at that point. That's how easy it is.
Right. And he said he's done this for 5 years in major corporations. And he talks at everything from LifeLock and Intel to financial institutions and all this. So he's a big name speaker. And 5 years he's been doing this, and he has never had a case where at least one person didn't open it.
Mm-hmm.
That's I know.
Made me want to go do it. Just it's like, that's pretty cool. I think I'll do that.
It's something that we've talked about doing often is, sting operation is what we call them. But yeah.
So the only defense for social engineering is what?
Education. It's the people. That's why we do free HIPAA training.
Yep.
And his quote was, if I can become you, and he goes through how easy it is to become you, which is scary. He basically needs three things, and after that, he can become you if he wants to. But he said the only limitation once I become you is my own imagination of what I want to do as you.
And the sad thing was, he said that most people give enough information just on Facebook alone.
Mm-hmm. That I could become you.
Yeah, that you can steal their identity without doing anything else but just going to their Facebook account.
And that's also the most valuable identity to steal is children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
a newborn's identity is hundreds of times more valuable than the identity of a millionaire with tons of credit.
Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because these kids below, the age of 16 or 18, their credit's not monitored. There's only a couple of crediting monitoring services you can even apply to get them to even look at that. Now, one is LifeLock, and I don't remember what the other one was, but it just the technology or the companies out there doing this, they're just not paying attention to this.
they won't let you track anybody under 18. And he's been going out there campaigning about it. You know, they're giving you now a social security number right away when you come out.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. I'm sure it's a little barcode that's going to go on your forehead soon.
Lord.
That'll push those conspiracy theory buttons on it. But at any rate, he can steal that and then nobody's looking. Nobody's checking their credit. They aren't on Credit Karma or whatever. Can you see a commercial, two little babies holding phones? Are you checking yours? Because I'm checking mine.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that bottle. Give me the bottle. But what can happen is absolutely terrifying by the time you actually check it. So allowing parents to submit the social security number of their kids is is one of his big issues that he's trying to get people to do.
Mm-hmm. He talked too about, you know, learning how to use social media properly from a family perspective, you know, teaching your kids. And I'm not talking about, you know, bullying stuff or, you know, don't click on a phishing thing necessarily, but just even some of the things about how to take a picture of yourself so that somebody can't use your photo. I mean, it was some of it. I was like, good grief. It's crazy. But, you know, the funny thing is I often joke about we should have to come up with some type of license to own in order to have a computer or smartphone.
Yeah.
Because they're dangerous. I mean, I make a joke of it, but they're very, very dangerous. And there's nothing out there that you have to take education-wise to say that you are responsible enough to own that piece of technology.
Yeah, he said that if he had a date of birth, a place of birth, and a straight-on picture of you, that's 98% of what he needs to be you. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, he can get the other 2% pretty easy using those three things. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the straight-on picture is so he can make an ID, you know, and all those kind of things and track you, and he's got software that he can use that's facial recognition software that TSA is using. You can get it. You can just get it. We're not going to talk about it, but you can just get it.
What is it? Tell me. Yeah, it was. It was kind of, it was very eye-opening. It's kind of, and then you talked about the story we talked about before with the copiers, the CBS story, where
the hard copy machines
had the hard drives in. And we've talked about that before, and he covered that. So Don and I looked at each other like, yay, we knew something. But what we didn't know is about the shredders. Did you know that? I didn't know about the shredders.
Oh, no. I was sending text messages to people while we were sitting there about shredders. You know, check your shredders. Now we know you could do this research all day long, but until you have somebody that's their specialty is screwing it up. Shredders, there's three kinds of shredders, and I knew about two of them, but the third one I was not that versed in, and I guess it's my own fault. Of all the things that I should be studying, I should study shredders.
You should, yeah. I mean, why not? What's wrong with you?
Because I do a whole bunch of nothing with my time. So he gave us the statistics that said the straight cut shredders, the ones that do just the big long lines,
that they shouldn't even sell anymore.
They shouldn't really sell it. Within an hour, they can put that back together. So it's useless. Within 50 minutes, they can take that, rebuild everything. They're good. So then they came out with what they call the cross cut or diamond cut shredder.
Which I thought was the thing to have.
Yeah. And then he explains to us that there's software that you basically take a picture of all these little diamond cut things and it puts it back together. What are you saying? Like 3 or 4 hours or a couple of days?
I think it was less than 10 hours. It was definitely less than right around a full work day, but it was a lot faster than you would imagine.
Yeah. It's not a lot, and you just have the software and a camera and a computer and boop. So then he said, micro cut shredders is the only one you should use.
Mm-hmm.
Micro cut. So there you go. Get rid of all of your shredders that are not micro cut or just stop using them. It's a waste of electricity.
Yeah.
You know, at least the definitely the ones that are the straight cuts. I mean, you're right. They shouldn't even be selling those anymore.
No. And if I go into an office to do a walkthrough, if I see anything other than a micro shredder, failed.
We know a lot of people, you know, the offices now, they use a document destruction company, so they don't have to worry about as much of that. But, you know, we've also talked about what can happen if you use the wrong company and you're driving down the road and there on the windshield is an X-ray. So that has happened before as well. So you have to make sure that you understand what the outsource company is using, because what if they're using straight cut, you know? So you want all those details. And yeah, I was texting several people, check your shredder right now, must be micro cut.
Yep.
Get rid of everything that's diamond cut. And you know, we didn't have anything straight cut. Those were gone a long time ago, but.
And we learned to get rid of your checkbooks.
Oh, I know.
No more checks.
Yeah. It's not just the check. It gives you everything I need to be you.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you think about it. You go, now I don't see this quite as often, maybe because I don't use checks very often either. But I mean, everybody knows your account number and routing number and all that's on the check. But, it, you know, it's also got your name and your address, which that's kind of scary enough. But if you go somewhere and they do the little, oh, I need your driver's license, and they, you know, they put your driver's license number and some other information on the check, well, you might be handing it to the guy or lady at the cash register, but she's putting that in her drawer. And then how many hands is it going through? And how many times is it being scanned and stored somewhere and all that? And who
you
knows?
Don't know where that's been?
Yeah, who knows who's getting that information, which is everything they need to steal your identity.
Yeah, he says that he only uses a check to pay a major bill, like if I need to send a check to a credit card company or something.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, he says, make sure you use credit cards, which is funny because, you know, when I was growing up, I don't know about you, when I was growing up, they were like, stay away from credit cards. They're bad.
Yeah, nobody needs debt, but it's not about the debt. He's, you know, a fan, I'm sure, of paying it off because.
Yeah, he did say that, which I do that often. I do that every month. I pay off my cards every month, and I love the point system. it works very well for me.
Yeah, that's it. He says the safest thing is to pay with a credit card and never, ever, ever use a debit card, ever.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happens is, and the guy that I'm talking to now, because he had it happen while we were gone, is number one, it's taken him literally 4 days before the detectives have gotten back with him to follow up on the initial report. And the bank's
4 days?
4 days. Because they're so backlogged with other cases, and the bank can't do a lot without the police report and all that. So there's all this back and forth going on. And so they said, yeah, you know, we should be able to get your money back to you within 7 to 10 days is what they're telling him. Of course, we don't know when that time starts. But in the meantime, the poor kid has zero money. They siphoned his entire checking account. Not a lot of money in there. Granted, but still.
But it's still my money. It's all I had.
But still, he lost everything.
Yeah, see, that's I hate those things. I fought it tooth and nail. I don't want one of those. Just let me have my ATM card. That's all I want. I don't want one of those. And they're like, oh, you still only have the $50. I was like, but if you wipe out my account, how long does it take to put it back? Mm-hmm. That's all you get.
Yeah. And then he talked about how the debit card fraud, the frogs, is rising like crazy. At banks themselves, it's up 174%. And then at non-bank locations where you see these debit card machines somewhere else outside of that, they're up 317%. And that's in 2015. We don't even know when it was last year.
Oh, it's, yeah.
So, they, you know, it's the worst thing to use anywhere, period.
Period.
Don't use a debit card, period. So I had what I call plastic surgery happened around my house. We cut up the plastic.
That's a good one. And he also said, teach your kids how to use a credit card properly. Mm-hmm. And he talked about when his kids all turned 18, he opened an account that was in their name, but he paid the bill, which I guess it let him also monitor what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time they graduated, they had excellent credit. So he's a big fan of making sure that you do that. And if there is anything that you can do, I mean, just the things you learned about your kids is don't give out your kid's social security number. Try to see if you can monitor their social security number for credit. And then make sure when they turn 18, you start helping them build credit because they need it.
Mm-hmm.
So then the last little bit of what he was talking about the tough issue of medical identity fraud, and he didn't deep dive into the medical part of it. In fact, he said, that's not my specialty. I look at it as a whole kind of thing. But, you know, you can't just refuse care even if you think somebody is not the person they say they are. And so that's an even bigger issue, which he did pretend to be a doctor, by the way. So he also made a point that I bolded when I was typing is that insurance companies who provide cybersecurity coverage, and we just talked about this with John Miller when we talked about cybersecurity, they're going to have to start giving out specific rules for you to get covered for cybersecurity insurance. Because if you're not even trying, why should they cover you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, we knew that was coming.
You know, it's kind of like your car insurance. If you get 15 speeding tickets, you know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're either going to have no insurance or so expensive that you might want to slow down.
Yeah. Because, I mean, these insurance companies don't want to pay this stuff. And people go, oh, I'm not concerned about a breach. My insurance will cover it.
Yeah.
Or I love the one where the doctor is like, I'll just file bankruptcy.
I know, really? He did say that, didn't he?
That's okay. Good luck with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that whole thing of head in the sand, but it's just a bigger reiteration of the fact that this is not about HIPAA anymore. This is all businesses, because as I mentioned, he's not a healthcare guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's giving out all these numbers and telling all these businesses how education is what they need. They need security awareness. They need to work on trying to build those layers of security to keep people out, you know, and at the same time, educate your internal staff to make sure they don't open the doors.
Yeah.
And if you have a breach, fix it. Fix it. Fix it.
Yep.
That's why all of our incident response plans have at the end of it a post-mortem. But, you know, you actually review what did we do well, what did we learn from this, what are we implementing, what are we changing, and do we need to change any of our incident response plans? So, boy, we hit a lot of topics in this one discussion today.
Yeah, I know. But
I don't even know how to classify it.
Good stuff. That's how you classify
it. We got some good stuff.
But you know what? If you listen to this point, this far into the podcast, then you're doing the right thing. You're trying to educate yourself and you're trying to do the things that we preach to people, which is, you know, learn, 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 use what you learn. Don't just learn the information and not do anything with it. But now you need to make sure you take this out into the workforce that you have under you. So that's your next step. That's your homework assignment for the week.
David just gave you a virtual pat on the back.
I did. You're doing great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but I mean, it is. That's the whole premise of why we do what we do, is that to educate and hopefully cut down on these numbers that we see.
I know.
You know, yeah. It's not just about helping you with HIPAA, even though that's the title. It's also about helping you with cybersecurity and helping you with privacy and helping you keep your practice safe and your data safe. And I mean, heck, nowadays we got people that aren't even in medical that listen to this thing all the time. So we got to change the name. What was that we say we're going to change the name to? Help me with laundry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What was it the guy said? Yeah, because we were at PodFest. We were discussing the unique scenario that we had with all the legal and those kind of things. And he said, I think you need to start talking about laundry detergent.
it's a lot less complicated.
Yeah, so not as many legal problems. You can get a lot more advertisers. Go for it.
Yeah. So help me with laundry's coming next. But anyway, that's our show for today, folks. We want to thank you for listening. We would love for you to review us on iTunes. We actually hadn't had one in a few weeks. So go there and review us on iTunes. We love those. They show up on our website and people read them and laugh. And that's what it's all about. We don't really care if you learn anything. We just want you to laugh.
You can also review us on Stitcher or wherever else you're listening. So just know.
Yeah, that's
true. We're watching.
Yeah, we are.
And every day that we don't get mail, we're sad.
Yeah. Share us out on social media. Visit us on our website, helpmewithhipaa.com. You can ask a question there. We may even feature it on a future podcast. And don't forget, if you're interested in the boot camp, let us know. We'd like to get you some information about it once we get everything lined up. And if that's something that you or your workforce is interested in attending, we'd love to see you. So just let us know at contact@helpmewithhipaa.com. Love to hear from you. So for Donna and myself, remember that HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.